Hallelujah.
And your life.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Hallelujah. I fully expect not to be here tomorrow, Pastor Ben. So I don't know. Are we even planning on you? I don't have any message tomorrow because I'm not planning on being here. But so I'll wing it tomorrow if we happen to be here, but I don't think we will. I want to thank, first of all, Karen Bland for sending me. I talked to her yesterday. I went out to have a walk and talk with the Lord on the beach the other day. And me and the Lord was talking, and I said, well, let me give Karen Bland a call, see how she's doing. And she always starts me off by serenading me, because that's her old profession. But now she sings for the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, here it is. Look at this, Pastor Ben. Barking Christmas dogs. Who sent me that? That's not from Karen Bland. That's from Valerie Garnes in Middleton, Delaware. Check that out, Pastor Ben.
That's beautiful.
Huh? Keep barking. And it's a Christmas card, too. I'm so glad Halloween is over.
You and me both.
Because they can take down all that stuff next door to me. Thank you so much, Valerie. I appreciate this. All the way from Middleton. I hope I see you later this evening in the clouds and we can dance and celebrate getting out of here. Now, Karen sent me, look at this. I'm going to have to share ties with you again, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
One, two, three, four, five. You've been eyeballing a couple?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I hope you're not eyeballing the ones I'm eyeballing. If you are, I have this extra one you might want to eyeball. And TV show Friends coffee cup with chocolate. I'm taking the chocolate, but you can. No, I'm not going to give away the cup. That's did Karen send this too?
No, that's from the Paul and.
This is Karen Bland. They're all from Karen Bland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she sent you, well, that's me, some caramel chocolate. And some of this peppermint stuff. Ooh, and here's some lady body wash. I told Mother Brenda, I got to give this to her. This looks like something Mother Brenda would
right?
want. She like, that make her feel real girly when she get out the shower.
Real girly. Oh, that's for Nikki. Don't open that one.
This from Nikki?
Yeah, that's for Nikki.
Okay, this is for Nikki.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Well, here, I'm going to put that with your thing, Nikki. And I'm going to slide all this stuff out of here. And Karen knows I love her, so I can't keep this stuff up here, though. I love her husband, Paul, too. He's such a patient, kind guy. He just riding the wave. Like, let's get out of here. Let's preach this word, and let's get out of here. And then Calvin and Valerie, I want to thank you for your gift, too. I'm going to have to give that to you, Pastor Ben. That's the church stuff. Thank you. Yeah, get your Christmas stuff off my desk. And then from my really cute good friend, all the way from Maryland, I think it's Bowie, Maryland, Yini, she sent me my favorite card, and I love her so much. She's so such a blessing. I pray we arrive at the approved time for our departure. See you in the clouds. Yes, I'll see you later this evening in the clouds. Huh? Someone sent their homework?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is Donica. She always sends me her homework.
Yeah.
She's gotten so good in Hebrew.
Nice, right?
I'm going to have to.
That's a really nice writing.
I know, and I'm not even talking about the English writing, Pastor Ben.
I'm talking about
the Hebrew writing. Her Hebrew writing is beautiful. Wow, that's good. And she looks like she got some cards in here, so because she wants her membership card and her Hebrew club stuff. And I've got to get started. Okay, make sure I didn't forget anybody, though. This is from Cheryl Kirk in Wichita Falls, Texas. And she sent me a letter. And let me see if I can read it. Oh, I love this letter. Look at this. Love watching you on YouTube. Bye.
great letter.
Cheryl, I love you. Cheryl Kirk, I love you so much. That is the best letter I've ever gotten. It's nice and precise to the point. Okay. And then we got from Matthew Morin, but he has a big sign on here that says, do not read this in front of the congregation. So, Matthew, I'm not going to read it. Give me my puffy thing. And Ruben Rojos sent me a card, very fancy card. All right. Will we ever see theme music for the Q&A time, Pastor Ben? That's what he wants to know.
We're
leaving tomorrow, so most likely not.
If not,
so,
we'll work on it.
So most likely not. So you'll have to deal with the da 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 da. Thank you, Pastor Ben, for coming in right on time. Okay, let me get rid of all of this because we have a very important Bible study that we need to talk about. And boy, do I. This is one Bible study that I hit. Once I hit on it, somebody gets it, and then I get a lot of backlash because I don't know if people are my friends until I know that they're my friends.
Right.
Okay, so in this particular Bible study on Sunday, we talked about some very important things. Before I get started, I need Brother Ryan to come pray me in. Because this Bible study is very important. And I need... Never, never, never give up. I like that. Winston Churchill.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, your people are crying out to you tonight. We pray that you would open the hearts and the minds of your people, that you would grant us repentance, that you would grant us strength,
yes,
peace, hope.
Yes,
Lord, we cry out for your salvation.
Yes.
Lord, open our eyes tonight. May your word flow through Pastor Sandy to each and every one of us. May we be ready for whatever comes next. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. I hope you guys are connecting with Salt Ministry. If you guys are men and you need prayer, connect with Salt Ministry. They are constantly praying for everyone. And for each other, and their iron sharpens iron. Now, on Sunday, we talked about um, 2020 and the conclusion of it. And the conclusion of it, I'm trying to let you know, is that this is a year of judgment. And so in the year of judgment, once people get raptured, then a lot of people are caught in Satan's trap, and there will be a lot of really bad times for the next 7 years after the church leaves. And so I don't want to get all graphic, but I'm telling you right now, Sunday's message was really a cry out to people to not listen to lies that may cause them to lead to miss the rapture. Because, you know, Satan is constantly lying. And so if you don't know truth, And your ears are open to all kinds of new knowledge and new truths, then you're going to end up being caught up in some type of foolishness. And so I'm always trying to make sure that people are ready to go, because that's what my calling is. And one of the ways to make sure people are ready to go is to make sure that they are that they're not listening to lies, okay? Someone sent me a question today, Pastor Ben. I said, you know, because I said this. I said that Eve, she was listening to Satan, right? As Satan was giving her this new information about the trees, right, and what you can eat from, and God didn't tell you the truth, and you can eat from the tree, and you're just going to become God, right? And then the Lord told me after that, Satan walked away because that was really all he needed to do. He didn't need to stay there and encourage her more and more and more to sin. All you have to do is put it in their mind. And if they don't rebuke it and get away from the thought of it, then they end up marinating on it. You ever sit in the house like marinating on something you want to do? And the Holy Spirit's like, don't do it. And you're like, I'm trying not to think about it. Because, you know, human, the flesh, right? It's like, so Satan walked away, and there's Eve sitting there going, boy, that fruit looks good, right? And it's good for being wise. So I told her that, you know, she said her question was, I thought Eve's worst sin was sleeping with Satan and having Cain.
I'm sorry, what now?
Now, I haven't heard that. I know there are people that are Luciferians, that practice Luciferian, worshiping Lucifer. They teach that. And there was a very confused Jewish guy who believed that, but I hadn't heard it in a long time. And I said, wow, where did you get that from? That is a weird, because the scripture in Genesis chapter 4 says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she gave birth and gave birth to Cain. So I'm like, how did you come to believe that Cain was Satan's child? I mean, so that means you're listening to somebody who is not really teaching you the Bible. And I'm not going to say her name because I love her so much. But it's not your fault that you've heard it, because it's out there. And I've heard a messianic Jewish pastor try to teach that. And I said, really? That's a Luciferian doctrine. Don't do that. Right. And so if you don't know the scriptures, you get around somebody that do, or get in the scriptures yourself and study to show thyself approved, so you don't believe all kinds of foolishness, okay? Because it's out there, okay? So my whole thing was trying to get people to understand that they have to be diligent about the word of God so that lies don't push them away from Christ. Because the truth about Christ is, even if we had a long time to be here, I don't know, I think we're leaving tonight. But if we had a long time to be here, if you lived a godly life before God, if you showed God, I am going to live for you. I don't care who tries to offer me sin. I don't care. I'm going to live for you. And if you were determined and you seek ye first the kingdom of God, he would add every blessing to you that you need. I know it because the scriptures are true. And he says, if you live in obedience, he says, blessings will chase after you, capture you, hug you. You won't be able to let it go. I just paraphrase Deuteronomy 28. But it all depends on your obedience, that you have decided that you're going to be obedient. Okay. And so I'm just trying to let people know that you have to live for him, and you have to live according to doctrine. Okay. Because at the Muslim mosque, you know what we had every year? We had a day called Jesus Saves. And we handed out pamphlets to Christians, whoever. It was called Jesus Saves. And it was a day that, you know, big speakers from Islam come in and they speak on the fact that Jesus, salvation is only through Jesus. And you said, Muslims preaching that? Yeah, but see, I didn't tell you who we think Jesus is. I never said Jesus was God, because that would go against the Quran, right?
Right.
But I know, but if you say that Muslims don't believe in Jesus, they'll tell you, no, we believe in Jesus more than Christians believe in Jesus. We just believe in the true Jesus. Mm. And then now you got to get in your Bible and find out who the true Jesus is, because they're telling you that Jesus was Wallace D. Farah, and then he left, and then Elijah Muhammad became Jesus. And historical Jesus, he couldn't take it, so he checked out. And then Farrakhan became Jesus. And then, so now you don't know that I'm talking about these different ministers in Muslim that they're saying are Jesus, right? So you don't, you come in and they say, we believe in Jesus, and that's just to get you to sit, because Satan knows what? I just need you to open your ear for a second.
Yep.
I don't need to push you into sin. You ain't got to be on a ledge. I ain't got to push. I just need to whisper something in your flesh and then watch it take its course, right? So that's what we have to understand. Know the doctrine of Christ. This is why he says, study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved. A workman that needs not be ashamed. Rightfully staying on the straight line of the word of God. It doesn't say dividing it. The word in Greek says cutting a straight line when you're reading the word of God. Meaning that this is truth and I stay on line. People get that divided. They start doing all kinds of crazy. We got to divide the word. No, it just means to cut a straight line. Whatever Jesus says, stay on that line, right? So, one of the things I said on Sunday is that Catholics don't believe in that Jesus was God. And so, of course, Catholics came and said, no, we believe in the Holy Trinity. We believe in the Holy Trinity, right? Even the Pope, when he says these, he always mentions the Holy Trinity. I'm a stupid kid that came out of Islam. They said they believed in Jesus. You saying it doesn't mean anything.
That's right.
Do you believe what he taught? Do you believe his doctrine? Because if you're Catholic, and I was writing it down, I'm like, what is a Vicar of Christ? Who knows what Vicar of Christ is? That is replacing Jesus. So the Pope is the Vicar of Christ. So Catholics believe that the Pope has taken the supreme authority over on earth, representing Jesus Christ and taking his place, and he has supremacy over doctrine, so he can change doctrine when he wants to. So he was easy for him to say, I now believe that homosexuals can get married. Yep. Now all the Catholics got to go, okay, we got to follow the Pope, because he's the supreme vicar of Christ and he's the authority of the word, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we're not going to baptize you by dunking you. We're going to sprinkle you. Why? Because the Catholic Church becomes authority over the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So then you don't believe in Jesus Christ. So you have to understand, when people say that, just because you say you believe in Jesus, I got to know what you believe in Jesus. Okay? So the Lord told me to write these things, okay? Jesus is not the vicar of Christ. You understand?
Jesus
Christ is not the vicar of Christ. He is not the Pope. Okay? Jesus does not allow you to pray to Mary. There's nowhere in the Bible that the Bible says that you are permitted to pray for Mary to intercede for you when you pray. Okay? That's called Isis worship. That's called worshiping a Babylonian female goddess, right? And that's where this comes from, because Pergamus is the root of the Catholic Church. The vicar of the Catholic Church does not have supremacy to change the doctrine of Jesus Christ. You may not bow down to an idol. Rather, it's a statue of a saint or a statue of Mary.
Right.
But if you go into the Vatican, you have statues of both, and everybody's bowing down and kissing them and bringing them roses. Okay? Jesus is God. Jesus is the Father, according to Isaiah 6:9 and John chapter 14. Okay? God is a spirit. Didn't God say he's a spirit?
Yep.
God is a spirit. And anyone who's going to worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Is God the Holy Spirit?
Yep.
Yes! He is a spirit and he is the Holy Spirit. Okay? There is a Trinity. There is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and one, but they have a doctrine and a way to believe in them. And the Catholic way of believing in the Trinity is not what the Bible is speaking of, okay?
Right.
So Catholicism is a very demonic religion, and I will never agree with it because I'll read it to you in a second. It says, you must worship, Jesus said, you must worship, he is the Spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why I gave you the seven declarations of God from Isaiah and Revelation. God saying what? I am the way, he says, I am the first and the last. Before me there is no God, and besides me there is no God. Then in Revelation, Jesus says, I am the first and the last. I was dead, but now I'm alive. So you're telling me that's, there's no difference between the God that's in the book of Isaac, of Isaiah, and the God that's in the book of Revelation, okay? Jesus was God in the flesh. And to drive that home to a bunch of religious people or people trying to hold on to Catholicism because it's their tradition, if you believe in Jesus and you're at home using the Babylonian beads to pray, to do repeated prayers, you better drop it and repent because a rapture is about to happen and that's not Jesus.
Right.
Okay? So I'm trying to help people out because getting, like I said, a straight line is a straight line. A veering off can get you way away from even being qualified to be a born-again believer. Okay? All right. I can put that down. Thank you, Pastor Ben, for listening to me. Now, you guys know what day it is? It is the 17th of Heshvan. And now, I want you guys to understand, it didn't become the 17th of Heshvan until the sun went down in Israel. You understand? Because they don't begin their days in the morning. Their days begin when?
Sunset.
Evening. In the beginning was the Word was God and all this stuff. But in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that it that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening, and there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the first day. So he says what? There was evening, and then there was morning, and that was the first day. The second day, what does he say? There is evening, and then there's morning, and then there's the second day. But the day always starts in the evening. Excuse me. Okay, now we're going to see what happened to Jesus. And I want you to follow this because I'm trying to tell people that the 17th started in the evening and it goes to the evening. So, because some people say, well, the 17th is over with, it starts in the evening. It didn't start in the morning. It started in the evening, okay? And you'll see that in scripture as we read. Let's go to Luke chapter 22, everybody. Luke chapter 22. And we can learn some things as we're reading this as well. Hallelujah. 17, everything. Now watch this. In chapter 22, it says, now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teacher of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and to the and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented, and watch for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was at present. Okay? It says, then came the day of unleavened bread on which Passover, which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparation for us to eat the Passover. Now, when he does this, he said it's before the Passover began, okay? So that means it's not the 14th of Nisan yet. It's the 13th of Nisan. But they've already spent half of the day together. It's nighttime. It's almost about nighttime. And they go, oh, wait a minute. Passover is about to come. We've got to get prepared and get to have a place to have the Passover dinner and everything like this. So remember that the 14th of Nisan was the day that Jesus was supposed to die. Okay. The 14th of Nisan is the day that Jesus dies. So here we have Passover and he wants to have Passover dinner with his disciples, but he's going to have Passover dinner with his disciples at the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, which is the evening. And the next evening, it will be the end of the 14th of Nisan because he dies at twilight. But what we would say is not until the next day. What they say, no, evening to evening, that was one day. Okay? So we got to understand how God is counting time, because you are on the 17th of Nisan and you'll be on the 17th of Nisan until evening tomorrow. Okay? So let's continue. Where do you want us to prepare? Let's go down here too. Go down to verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until I find fulfillment in the kingdom of God. So now this whole Galilean thing, he keeps repeating Galilean marriage themes, okay? He's saying, I'm not going to eat of a meal until I see you again in the kingdom, right? He's making all these proclamations because they're Galileans, right? And it says, after taking the cup, he gave thanks. And he says, take this, divide it among yourselves, for I tell you the truth, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until I see, until the kingdom of God comes. So he's like, now I'm not going to drink from wine until we drink together in the kingdom of God. So this is a marriage proposal that everyone's standing around going, why is he giving us all of this wedding information, right? So this evening, they're about to have their Passover dinner. And he said, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way, after the supper, they took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, what's the covenant? What's the new covenant? The first covenant they received at Mount Sinai, right? They received 10 commandments, and that was the covenant that they received, and that was a marriage between God and Israel. Now, Jesus is saying, I'm presenting to you now a new covenant, okay? Not like the one before, so this is still a marriage covenant. But this one is in his blood, which is poured out for you, but the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table, and the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to the man who betrays him. Okay. So it's Passover night. They're having their Passover dinner. Let's go to 22 verse 47. It says, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, And the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus, to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? And when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, look, should we strike with our sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. His name was Malchus. You know what that means? The kingdom. So the hearing or understanding for the kingdom had been cut off of Israel. So he's trying to, but who's going to heal their hearing? Jesus. So what's Jesus about to do for Malchus? He's going to put the ear back on and give him his hearing. He was prophesying right there in front of you about cutting off the understanding of Israel, but later healing it at the same time. So this guy called Kingdom, and he says, so, and he touched the man's ear and healed him. It says, then Jesus said to the chief priest, the officer of the temple guard, and the elder who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. Okay, let me finish here. Then it says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, but when they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them, and a servant girl seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. Now, why are they lighting a fire in the middle of the courtyard? Do you guys know? It's nighttime. But it's but they already had the Passover dinner. So that means it's the 14th of Nisan. It's still nighttime. And guess what? It's still the 14th of Nisan. Because remember, he's not going to die to what we call the next day at twilight. But that'll still be the 14th of Nisan. Okay? So, let's continue. And it says, but he denied it. And it says, I don't know him, Peter said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. He said, man, I am not. Peter replied, about that hour, another asserted, certainly this man was one of them, for he is a Galilean. I wanted you to hear that portion, because he is a Galilean. And this is why Jesus is trying to let them know everything according to their culture, that what I'm doing for you is something that relates to a marriage. I'm coming back to get you. I won't eat again until I see you in my Father's house. All of these things are marriage implications. Okay, let's go down to verse 53. Then it says, the man who was guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, prophesy who hit you. And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, wait a minute, okay, now it's no longer dark outside. The sun's finally coming up. Guess what? Still the 14th of Nisan, okay? And he says, at daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. It says, if you are the Christ, they said, tell us. Now listen to Jesus. Jesus replied, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. So he calls himself the Son of Man. If you're not Jewish, you don't know he just called himself God. And I'll read it for you in Daniel chapter 7:13. It says the Son of Man will come on a cloud and destroy the enemies of God and set up a reign and a kingdom that will never end. But they call him the Son of Man. When Jesus says he's the Son of Man, they know exactly who he said. Are you saying you're the one that's going to come on a cloud and reign and have an eternal kingdom? Because that's in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And Jesus is calling himself the Son of Man. Then Jesus says this. And they asked him, are you then the Son of God? He replied. Now, you have to read it in Greek to get this proper interpretation. It's because in Greek, in the Greek, it says this. But when you get in some King James, it says, you say that I am, right? But what he says is, you are right in saying that. And then he goes, I am. Now, do you know that that is a forbidden name for all Jews to say? You cannot say the word Ihia Ashir Ihia, because that is what God told Moses. When I go to the Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me? And he says, you tell him I am sent you, right? So after that, all the Jews said, it is forbidden for anybody to say the name I am, because it's the secret name of God, right? Jesus stands here and says, what you said is right, I am. Now, let's see how they respond, because it says, then they said, why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips. So they understood what he was saying. Jesus was calling himself God. And so now they want to really kill him, and they think, now we don't even need any witnesses. We just heard it. Okay? Let me make sure I have no. Now, I want to introduce you to something else. Go to chapter 23, verse 38. And it says, there was written a notice. Now, Jesus is on the cross. And I'm going to show you guys something, because this is important. Because this is very, okay. So here's Jesus on the cross. That's the 19th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's called Quof. It means holy. There's Jesus on the middle of the cross. Over here is this letter. This is the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So this is the 18th letter. This is the 19th letter. Why is that the 19th letter? Because holiness is going to take care of the problem that 19 caused. Who's 19? Eve, right? On the other side here is Resh, which means evil. Ra, ra'a, evil. So here you have the cross. This is the 20th letter. Here you have the cross, right? And what's tzaddik mean? Righteousness. What did this guy say to Jesus? He says, when you remember me when you come in your kingdom, right? Then what did holy say? This day you will be with me in the kingdom of God. What does ra'ah say? Evil. If you really God, save yourself and save us too, right? So even in the lettering system, God has it set up where the cross is the 18th, 19th, and 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet to tell you that on the cross, righteousness will be, holiness will be in the middle, and evil will be on the other side, okay? So what's going on here is that exactly what I just said. So now it's the 14th of Nisan. He dies on the cross. And then once he dies on the cross, they say, he writes Yeshua, which starts like that with a yod. HaNazarene, VeMelech, the king of Hayudin. Okay. Yeshua, HaNazarene, VeMelech, Hayudin. That is Yeshua, the Nazarene, and king of the Jews. That's what he wrote on the cross above his head. What does that spell? Yahweh, right? He wrote it out in the full words, but every first letter spelled Yahweh, right? So God is on the cross dying for what? For the whole world. But he's also dying because there is a scripture that Israel will never be able to get remarried unless her husband dies. Do you get it?
Yes.
Israel will never be. It is impossible in their law for a woman to remarry unless her husband dies. So they're bound to 1613 laws forever unless their husband dies. So Jesus knows if he doesn't die, Israel is stuck with this. So God comes, he dies on the cross. So what? So Israel can be released from his old marriage covenant and can now accept a new marriage covenant because her husband died. And now he comes with a new covenant. Okay. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Because as you see today, I don't know if you noticed, I have my Rabiel Valit diamond watch on here. This one of the brothers gave me this one. It's beautiful. And I have my other watch over here, okay? This was set on Israel's time, okay? Because I want to know when the 17th of Heshvan is over with. Okay, so it's on Israel. Right now it is almost, it's like 5:35 in the morning in Israel, right? And so they're on the 17th of Heshvan. If God's going by their clock, which maybe he is, we don't know. If he's going by their clock, the 17th of Heshvan, it'll be done. So I should not wake up here. That's what I'm hoping. Okay, this watch don't matter. I'm cared about this one, right? So, because today is the 17th of Heshvan, today is the anniversary of the flood. Today is the end of grace. Today was the day that grace ended in the book of Genesis. And it is the 17th of Heshvan, and this prophecy of the 17th of Heshvan has never been fulfilled because it had to fall on 120 years and it had to fall after 6,000 years. So in my spirit, I'm thinking there's no way that we should wake up here. There's no way that we should wake up here. And I don't mind going while I'm asleep. If I hear the trumpet while I'm asleep, beautiful, you know what I mean? But I like for things to happen while I'm asleep, you know, no effort. Just like, I just wake up and start dancing. So praise God. Now, if you're in Hebrews, let's go. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, as I'm trying to get people prepared to go, listen, if you've been like a devout Catholic all your life and you believe in Jesus and you consider yourself a Reformed Catholic, like I got baptized, they actually dunked me, they didn't sprinkle me. I don't get involved with a lot of Catholic things that they do, but you still have your beads that you pray with, or you still have some statues at your house. Get that stuff out of your house and repent. We're too close to the end, okay? Because you're not allowed to bow down to a statue and bow down to God at the same time, okay? You can't practice paganism and be in a relationship with God at the same time. So get rid of everything, because Revelation chapter 18 says, come out from among them before you have to suffer in their sin and their punishment. 17 book of Revelation talks about the Vatican and the destruction that's coming among the Vatican. 18 just says, come out from among them so that you do not participate in their sin. And it says, and to come out from among them and separate yourself from them before you enter into their punishment. You understand? You can't do both. You can't be Catholic and Christian. It's impossible. Okay? If you stop bowing down the statues and you stop worshiping the Pope and you stop praying with beads and now you believe that Jesus Christ is God and you believe that his doctrine is true, then you're no longer Catholic. There's no sense in you to keep going pretending that, you know, that you're still a part of the team, because you're not a part of the team anymore. By the way you conduct yourself in Christianity, you are no longer Catholic. You allowed yourself to be submerged in baptism. Go tell the Pope that. You go tell the Pope, oh, I'm sorry, I went to Jesus myself and asked for forgiveness.
Right.
What? Trying to take my job, you'll say? It's not your job. Jesus already tore that veil. I don't have to come by the curtain and talk to you anymore. Right. Jesus tore that veil down. I went straight to Jesus. So if you're not practicing, if you're really living Jesus Christ as a Christian, why do you keep trying to mingle with Catholics so that you can keep the tradition going because you don't want to lose friends? God did not come to bring peace. Jesus said he didn't come to be, he came to bring a sword and a division, so that a mother would be against her daughter, a daughter against her son. You know what I mean? All of these things, because the truth divides. It doesn't agree with and mingle with. The truth divides. Okay? And so when I say stuff like that, they say, well, Pastor Sandy, you're going to start an argument between the Catholic Christians. There's no such thing as Catholic Christian. You're going to start. I want to start an argument because I want you to make a division, yeah, so that you're not practicing paganism,
yeah,
and trying to practice Christianity. Okay.
Amen.
You in Hebrews chapter 12? This is for my other friends. It says, make every effort to live in chapter 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, what is effort? Make every effort. What is effort? Huh? Why you gotta explain that to human beings? Like, put some effort into it, right? No, I'm saved by grace. I don't have to try to stop sinning. The Lord will fight those battles. Isn't that just wimpy? Like, I'm going to make excuses for my sin so that I can do what I want, right? And I'm not going to fight against it because I'm saved by grace, okay? This is, I'm going to read the scripture again. Watch this. It's talking to you. Make every effort to live in peace and with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grow up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, for a single meal sold his inheritance. Which God refers to sexual immorality is like giving up your eternal inheritance for a bowl of soup. He measures it out the same. Okay, you got all this in the balance, but you wanted some soup. Okay, so God's saying, don't do that to yourself. It says as the oldest, he was due to a double portion. And it says, afterwards, as you know, he wanted to inherit his blessing, but was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. So once you, if the rapture happens, there's no crying that can make it come back. You understand? There's no crying that could start it over. So if you're living in any sin, repent. What a press, because you're in that time of grace. Isn't that awesome? You can like, forgive me, Father God, in Jesus' name. And God goes, cleaned. Try that in the tribulation. You better keep confessing that, and you better not take the mark, and you better be faithful, and because all of this, that grace period, that stuff's over with. Don't take the mark and keep confessing Christ, right? So while you can confess Christ and get out of here, now is the time to get rid of a lot of mess, okay? Praise God. So it says here in verse 18, because God says to read this, because you remembered him and don't think he's forgot about you. Because you remembered God in all the situations of life, because you remembered to say, I need to go back to God and repent because Jesus has been good to me. Because you said, I need to read my word. God says, I want you to know I have not forgot about you. Okay? And he says, because you remembered me, I'm going to remember you. And it says, for when you're there, you will say this. Because you have not come to a mountain that cannot be that can be touched, and that is burning with fire, to darkness and gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking the word, that the word who heard the ones who that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even it says, if even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That's how the marriage between Israel and God was at Mount Sinai, because God came down and spoke, and the trumpet blast, and the people were scared. And God was like, I'm just trying to marry you. But God says our marriage is not going to be like that. It says in verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the holy Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So God is saying the wedding that you're about to come to is an assembly of angels in joyful assembly. You have come to the kingdom of God. And when we come, it is a joyful assembly. This is called the rapture, and it is a reward to who? To those who are faithful to God. Lukewarm people don't get to enjoy this. You understand? People who don't have any oil in their lamp because they have no time for Jesus on a daily basis or even a weekly basis, you know, because some days we get busy. But some people go weeks and weeks until they start falling away from Christ till they read their Bible again. But God says, but you remember me. You remember me when I wake up. I mean, when you wake up, you remember me of the things that I've done in your life. So don't think that God is in heaven going, well, they're just going to have to make it through the next hard times. Biden might be president. Good luck, you guys. You know what I mean? Don't think that God has forgotten about the church. You understand? And the trumpet is going to blow, and the church will leave, and we will be in the assembly of angels, in joyful assembly with angels, and the church will be there. So I want the Lord, you know, I get in the car today, and I'm telling you, I get in the car, and the car is on, it's 117. I'm like, 117. And I just looked up and like, stop playing with me. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's the 17th of Heshvan. I know the information that you gave me, and I know everyone is waiting, because no one wants to be in the middle of all this mess wearing masks wherever you go. I tried to walk in the store today. You forgot your mask. Oh, I got to walk all the way back to the car. It's like, Lord, get me out of here. but he hasn't forgotten about you. And the Lord's message to everyone that is walking with Christ, who loves Jesus, is I have not forgotten about you. You will be in an assembly of joy and dancing among angels. And the Lord said, don't be surprised that angels don't look the way you think. Because we all got a way, huh? We're going to be looking for a big guy with wings. They might not look like that, okay? So the Lord said, be ready for that, okay? They may not look like what you imagine in your mind, but you're about to go into an assembly of joyful angels and joyful born-again Christians who came before you, who are happy to bring you into the kingdom. So God wanted me to let you know today, he has not forgotten about his church. Do not pay attention on what's going on in the world, because their president is their president. I hope Trump leaves too. I hope they say, you know what is good? He wasn't president because he left with the rest of those Christians. I hope they say that. And that we're in the kingdom of God, okay? So let's keep our radars up and get ready, because I'm expecting to hear the trumpet. Praise God.
Amen.